Hey geeks! Welcome to episode 76 of It's All Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, Kate. In this episode, Em and I discuss The Walking Dead, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and what all these inhuman things are that's going on. We also talk about some casting and costume news for upcoming Netflix comic book series and a couple of other things. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Love me, my adorably juvenile mind.
On occasion. So maybe we should just start talking Walking Dead.
Cool.
Even though you haven't seen this week's episode.
Shut up. Just talk about it and I'll get on my soapbox and find something.
So we have to go as far back as like the mid-season premiere. I'm not going to lie. I really love this show, but I have been a little bored.
Yeah, I've been mildly disappointed. Like, the first episode, it wasn't the first episode back, the second, we had this whole discussion about this after it came back, and there was that second episode where nothing happened.
Yeah, no, nothing. And with them coming into this new community, it almost makes me feel like, haven't we already gone here? Like, well, with Terminus.
My problem with this is, you know, like, I would love it if they've come into this new community and they would actually like blossom and become a community and have like this safe space. But you know, in order for the TV show to exist, that cannot be a reality.
No, of course not.
Because nobody just wants to watch them be all happy.
Because it's not the premise of the show. And you know, it's really funny. I was having this conversation with someone this afternoon about how I was kind of bored with it. And he was like, well, yeah, but there was a purpose for all of it. And I was like, yes, because they're moving the story along and they have to show a progress of time from one place to another. But the whole episode where they were just walking in the street and they had like the horde of walkers following them, and then they found the water in the road, and then they ran into this weird guy who none of us trusted, because that's what we have been trained as Walking Dead fans to do, is not trust anyone.
Trust no one. That's what we've been trained by a lot of shows to do.
Yeah, trust no one, which that started with the X-Files. But, like, so they walk into this community and then they meet this woman who's the head of the community, who is, like, a cross between Kate Mulgrew and Cherry Jones.
Yes.
And I suddenly go, wait, we've been here before with Crazy Mary at Terminus. I don't trust you.
Right. I mean,
and I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it's been 3 episodes, and it hasn't. Well, no, it's been 2 episodes, and it hasn't.
Yeah. Well, the thing, too, the boy was saying, like, now they're the bad guys, kind of.
Yeah. And even Rick saying, well, if we don't like what they do, we'll take it from them. I went, whoa, you have become the people that you have been fighting against.
It's true. I mean, isn't that what happened at Terminus?
Yes. But it's also, if you think about it, it's par for the course, because in this world, you have to do what you have to do to survive. And that was kind of why they wanted them in this community. They understand what it's like out there, whereas these people have been living in this sheltered little walled community that is self-sustaining.
Which is, you gotta give them credit for that, though. That's pretty amazing.
For them to have known to go there was pretty stellar. From what I was told by the person that I talked to today, that the woman who's leading the community, she's not in the comic book. Her husband is.
Oh.
But she isn't. And I was like, oh, this is another one of those that they went, we're going to put a woman in power and see just how scary she can be. Pretty scary.
Well, because we already had a male in power, the governor, and that did not go well.
Neither did Crazy Mary, though.
Yeah, but Crazy Mary, I feel, was like a figurehead. I feel like What's-His-Face was running the show.
The governor?
No. Was it her son?
Her son, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he was, like, running the show, but she was, like,
you want to talk about a plot line that I wish they had looked at just a little bit further? I know they killed her off really quickly, but they gave us that flashback a little bit in that episode of, like, her getting thrown back into the
after being rapey McRaperstein.
Right. I mean, it sounds sadistic, but I kind of wish they had shown us a bit more of their story.
I don't know that they're stopping there. I feel like there might be more to it.
Maybe we're gonna. I don't know if we're gonna run into more of those people.
Well, someone made the. Someone pointed out the little boy who's the son of. I honestly don't remember her name on the show.
The woman who gave Rick a haircut.
The one who's got the little son and Rick kissed her and it was this whole big deal, even though it just kissed her on the cheek.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. All I see her as is a slutty maid from American Horror Story season one.
I knew her from somewhere.
Yes. Well, I was staring at her going, who is that? And the boy was like, oh, that's, and he rattles off her name. And I go, not helpful. Who is that? And he goes, that was slutty young maid. No, actually he said that was the young maid. From American Horror Story, and I went, oh my god, it's the slutty maid. So he was being more PC than I was. I'll cop to that.
Well, they find out something about her character in this week's episode.
You are more than free to talk about it.
Well, Carol, the little boy, shows up at her house again.
That Carol threatens to eat, basically.
Pretty much. She threatens something, you know, I'll put you outside and no one will be there to help you. He shows up at her door at one point. And try, like, is stalling and trying to stick around and finally convinces her that, like, if he goes and steals some chocolate, she'll show him how to make cookies. And she starts asking him questions while they're making the cookies. And she, having been a former wife and mother to a child who was not only the child was abused by the father, but the mother was as well. Like, she was abused by her husband and so was her daughter. She recognizes the signs. So she goes and knocks on their door. And it takes a little while for the father to answer the door. And when he does, it's like, silent in the house, and she tries to ask him a question, and then she asks to see the little boy, and then she asks to see the wife, and he says it's not a good time and shuts the door in her face. So she figures it out and she tells Rick that, like, he's beating both of them.
Ugh.
But like the last shot of this week's episode is Carol looking at Rick and being like, because you're gonna have to kill me. And I went, wait, rewind, I have to see that again. What happened?
Wait, what?
That, yeah, you know how they end these episodes with something like that that makes you go, now I have to know. But they're not going to tell us for another two episodes.
Of course not. I will say, though, they didn't tell us who was carving W's yet, right?
No.
You know who I'm betting on? Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Why?
Because when Rick's walking down the street at the end of that episode and he sees the family or whatever, he walks past a sign, Morgan Drive.
So you think they're M's and not W's?
No, they could still be W's, but I think it's him, and I think that Morgan Drive sign was just a little, like, casual background nod to the fact that he's still out there.
He is. We haven't seen the end of that plot line at all. Though I did forget about him a little bit.
That's why Morgan Drive, and I was like, what if he's the one? Because he has been following them, and whoever is leaving the tree markings.
So you think he's just hanging out there in the woods around this community?
Maybe. Maybe he doesn't know if it's safe to go in.
Well, I'm not so sure it was safe to go in.
Right.
And that's the thing that made me feel like we were going around in circles. Like, why are we back in another community where we don't know whether or not they're friend or foe?
Because, let's be honest, how much can you do?
It's like one never-ending game of World of Warcraft. It's a big time sink. Let's go to this place, kill some zombies. Let's go to that place over there, kill more zombies. Let's try to get a horse, and then it gets eaten by zombies.
Well, also, I found it interesting. Oh, the horse.
My mother actually knows the people who own that horse, who are the trainer of that horse.
Really?
Yeah. She told me that. She's like, when you watch The Walking Dead this week, so-and-so owns that horse. And I was like, who? So nobody I've never met, but.
Aww.
Yeah, it was their horse. That's why, like, he's a trick pony. That's why he was, like, down on his front legs at one point.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I will say, though, if you are a horse who wants to go into acting, The Walking Dead is not your career vehicle, folks. It just, every horse on that show is just done.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
You're lucky if you get a whole episode. The one horse made it pretty far. No other horse has made it as far as Rick's original horse.
Mm-mm.
But eventually, you're all going to be eaten by zombies.
That's the unfortunate turn.
So, I'm thinking, if you are a horse actor, look for the Black Beauty, not The Walking Dead.
The problem is, when you look at things like Black Beauty or Seabiscuit or whatever,
they all die.
Well, no. It's that they use about four different horses. And the problem is when horse people go and see those movies, we're like, that's a different horse. That one is too.
Of course people ruin movies.
Hey, I ruin movies. I notice continuity errors like crazy. I'm not going to tell you how many there were in the Duff.
I don't want to know. I know
I'm not going to tell you. There were so many. I'm just not going to tell you.
It was a teen movie. They're not supposed to be...
No excuse.
Continuitous.
They have a script supervisor. So anyway, back to The Walking Dead.
I'm making a face at you.
I know that I can't see.
Yeah, I agree with you. This season just... I don't want to say they've run out of ideas, but what more do you do with this? Although someone was saying, maybe, perhaps, I forget who I heard this from, but they were saying that the Terminus group, like, perhaps they had the idea, like, canned foods and food goods are going to run out of supply, and, like, what are you going to do for food? You're going to have to start eating weird things. And I was like, just thinking, like, there was a time before we had canned foods and stuff. Like, yeah, it sucks trying to hunt and grow things with zombies, but you're going to do what you're going to do.
Listen, just send them all back to the 18th century in Outlander and let the Scots teach them how to hunt.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, yes, the zombies add a threat, but back in the day, I'm sure there were wild animals.
Well, Daryl is constantly hunting. When they first show up to this new community, he shoots an opossum in the trash can and he goes, "We brought dinner." It was such a Daryl thing to do. I loved it.
Oh, you gotta love Daryl.
We brought dinner. Oh my goodness. I'm not by any means ready to give up on watching The Walking Dead. I just was a little dull and tedious. And I know that they can't constantly keep up the walker action.
Right.
But I'm curious also, like, you can't tell me these people haven't been living behind the walls of this community and not had a death. I mean, maybe, if they're very lucky. But if they have had a death, rather, how have they dealt with it? Because we saw how they dealt with it in Woodbury.
Remind me again how they dealt with it in Woodbury?
The old man who, Milton was doing the experiment to see
Yes.
Yeah, and that old man, like, volunteered.
Right.
And when he did pass, Milton was trying to, like, talk to him and see if there was still any bit of him left when he reanimated and Andrea put him down.
Right.
When she was still alive.
And still useless.
We're not going to go down that rabbit hole. But, you know, you can't tell me that these people haven't had a death. The only problem is, like, this week we got to see just exactly how unprepared these people are to go out into the world and fight off walkers, because there went Noah.
Mm.
There almost went Eugene. Somehow Eugene keeps scraping by.
You know what? Good on you. Good on you, mullet man.
The mullet that will save the world.
Sort of.
In a way. So yeah, I mean, Walking Dead's still keeping my interest, but definitely not as interesting as S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, what I was going to say, though, about Walking Dead, while we're still on Walking Dead,
yes,
is that they have greenlit cast and all of that. They've already greenlit 2 seasons of the companion piece that they're doing.
Yep.
Which makes me very excited, because I feel, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm pretty sure we're going to get to see how the zombie apocalypse got to California where they are.
That'd be interesting.
Because that's one thing we never really got to see, because we start from Rick's point of view and he's in a coma and he wakes up and it's like, ooh, zombies.
The part of it that has still not been explained is, who was patient zero?
Exactly. So the thing is, from what I gather, again, I could be totally off on this. This is just me putting together bits and pieces of random knowledge that I have found throughout the interwebs. From what I gather, which would make sense, the zombie apocalypse did not instantaneously happen everywhere. From what I can see, it started on the East Coast. I'm not sure if it was exactly just Georgia or whatever, but you have to realize it had to have started at least somewhat locally to Georgia, because they bombed the city. They wouldn't have bombed the city if they didn't think they could contain it by bombing the city.
No, yeah, I agree. Well, having Atlanta be the focal point for the series to begin with makes me think that that's where it does start. But you're right. How did it get to California? So someone, I mean, if you watch a movie like Outbreak, you know how outbreaks are spread.
Right.
You know, someone jumped on a plane and went out to LA and died and bit somebody else and it moved on.
But I'm also curious to see if we actually get to see what created this.
I agree with you on that. The other point that I always forget about, and is actually the truth, is when they're in the CDC in the first season and that guy says, you know, it's in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everyone, no matter how you die, you will reanimate and come back as a walker. So, like, you're right. How did it start? Was it airborne? Was it...
Like, something had to have gone out...
Was it in our food source, in our water source?
into the human whatever, be it food source, water source, air supply, to activate this thing that was dormant inside us. So I'm kind of curious to see if we get to find out what that is. I mean, that's my sole reason for wanting to watch this companion show, is I want to see how they get it there. Because clearly we're not going to have another, like, ooh, coma, I'm awake, there's zombies. Because you can't do that twice. You
can't do it twice. No one will watch it then.
Can't.
Yeah, no one will watch it then.
And I'm pretty sure at the start of the series, they don't know it's happening. Like, there are people who think it's happening, but, you know, this is something, of course, the government would keep as hush-hush as humanly possible. Like, think about it. First thing you would do is take out their communication systems, because you don't want them, at this point, tweeting, Facebooking, any of that.
You don't want it to blow up social media and cause mass panic.
Right. So they'd have to knock out the communications first. So it'd be interesting to see how the people out there learn, or even if they do, learn what's happening in enough time to do anything about it.
What was that show where the power all went out on, like, that's the pilot? Is
Revolution.
Thank you. So it'd be like Revolution with a zombie apocalypse.
Well, not that it would go out there. I'm just saying they must have taken communication out. And if Georgia was the starting point, they must have taken out all communication there.
I don't know if they could only take it out in a city, though. Like, you'd, in order to take out cell phone communication, you'd have to take out the towers.
Right.
We just went really far with this speculation. That was really fun.
Well, I'm just
fun.
Saying, you would have to take out the towers in, like, the Georgia area, if you will. But if you're bombing the city, that's an easy fix. I mean, knock out their internet. That's step one.
Yeah. No, you're right. Knock out their internet, knock out their cell phone service.
Because think about it. If you knock out the internet first, it's going to take people a little bit before they realize,
But see, that's why I'm saying it had to be, like, a CDC misfire. Because I feel like they're the only body in Atlanta that would be able to employ the, oh crap, we screwed up, this is what happened, we need you to bomb the city, and for the government to go, okay.
I mean, all it takes is for one government official to be like, oh crap, look at that.
We talked about this before. My mom actually she works for a hospital, and they went through zombie apocalypse survival training, because their theory is if you're prepared for the apocalypse, you're prepared for anything.
Which makes sense.
And that was, like, one thing that they had to think about was locking down the hospital and how many people would they let in and how many, like, and they progressed through the course of the, like, 3-hour seminar, they progressed to, like, certain points where, so this is patient zero and this is the stages that the disease goes through and you can administer these drugs at this point and blah, 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 blah. And then they ultimately got to, so these are the exits and this is how many infected are inside, this is how many infected are outside, what do you do?
Dum, dum, dum.
I was like, is the helipad still working? Let's go.
Let's get out of here.
But it's an interesting thing to think about. Like, that's how the outbreaks, so like the smallpox has spread through the United States.
Right.
Which is weird.
You know, back when people didn't vaccinate, which is like what, yesterday?
Becoming a trend.
Which is what, yesterday?
Which is what, yeah, yesterday. Goodness.
Yeah, no, some of those diseases just, I know I shouldn't laugh, they make me giggle. There was several hockey players, because I'm a hockey fan, who were all out with the mumps, and I was like, are they in a Dickens novel?
Did they miss their MMR vaccinations as children?
I don't know. I was like, are we in a Dickens novel? All of a sudden, there's like three players out with the mumps.
Maybe there's a new strain of the mumps. I don't know. But you're right. It would be very interesting to see the origin of this pathogen or genetic manipulation or whatever it is.
Whatever it is that got released.
Mm-hmm. That they still haven't told us about at all.
Right. Well, I mean, there's no need for them to tell us on The Walking Dead because...
I'm sure there is definitely a level of curiosity. Like, I know I have it. Like, I'm very curious to know how
this all started. Oh, well, yes. But I mean, like, our survivors that we are following...
Oh, they don't need to know.
That's not what's on their mind.
No.
They don't... They have other concerns.
Especially since Eugene used the let's get to DC card already.
I still don't understand why they don't just go to DC. Maybe Canada's fine. Maybe we should all go to Canada.
Yeah.
You know, like my Canadian idea?
I don't have a problem with going to Canada. I have tried to go to Canada. They're kind of friendly with us. So I think enough of us would have gone over already that they're probably infected too.
I suppose. Poor America's hat.
But anyway, so why don't we talk a little bit about S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s gotten quite interesting since the mid-season finale.
Holy frijoles, it has.
Of course, you know, we lost someone that we very much liked. Although I'm not 100% convinced that he's gone.
Listen.
Even if Gemma was picking up pieces of him.
Listen, I'm still angry it was him and not Mac. I'm very pissed off at Mac these days.
Mac? Okay. I still do not understand what's going on with him and Bobby.
Nobody understands. All I know is that right now, he needs to be put down.
Well, and you... Okay. When he took Hunter out...
Mm-hmm.
The whole time Hunter's talking to him, I'm like, stop, stop, step back. You don't want to do this. You really don't want to do this.
But they were friends. That's the only reason he had his guard down, and that made me so sad.
I don't necessarily think that they're Hydra.
No, they're not Hydra. We know that they're not Hydra because in this past week's episode, Mac said something to Bobby being like, think of how he'll feel when he finds out you betrayed him. Just think about how you felt when we found out our friends were Hydra.
Oh, good point. I forgot about that.
Which makes me think they're not Hydra.
They're not Hydra. So I just want to know. Like, what? And can we talk about Bobby Morris being the president of the Sky Fan Club? Because when she goes to her when she's in isolation and she's going on and on about how, like, no, that was amazing and blah, 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 blah. I was like,
ugh,
you hold the president card right now of the Sky Fan Club. Go sit down.
Stop it. Speaking of former president Sky Fan Club, Where is Ward?
On the lamb.
Yeah, I want to know where that lamb is, please.
He's laying low.
Yeah, from them, not from me. Come on.
Oh, goodness.
Listen, you know I love me some Ward.
Yes, Brett Dalton is...
I do love me some Brett Dalton, too. That's entirely different.
I don't miss him, I'll be honest. I did. Okay, we have to talk about this, because this was fun. When they make... Oh, I forget his name. When they make the guy think that they're going to hand him over to the U.S. government, and then he gets stolen by Hunter.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
That was brilliant. They'll never take us alive.
And when Faye stands up and looks at him and goes, they'll never take us alive. I had one day to come up with all of this. If you had written the script, no one would have said anything. If Coulson is the best character in the Marvel Universe, just for that, for his humor and his sass and the way he says things, it's just fantastic. I love it.
His quippiness.
His quips.
Sassy Coulson is my favorite Coulson.
Yeah, that was fun. And they had me going for a minute.
Yeah.
I really thought that was for a minute. And I loved May being like, you know what that means, don't you? And he goes, what? And then she flips over the car, blah, 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 does her whole little thing and goes, I'm going to do that. That's what it means.
That's what that means.
They write them so well. And I love that Ming-Na is almost the exact opposite of Agent May. In real life.
Yes.
And she's one of us, which is even better.
I still say my favorite was they announced when Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk announced, well, Alan announced that they were doing Con Man. And I wrote up an article for you guys. It's all up on the site. Just like a quick little thing. And my tweet said, shut up and take my money. And then about 4 hours later, Ming-Na put up a tweet which literally said, shut up and take my money.
Mm-hmm. One of us.
One of us. Seriously, though, I am enjoying this half of the season. I have to say, though, with Reyna.
Yes.
Going back to the Reyna and her makeover.
Her spikiness.
Which, first of all, if she is in pain, I understand it. I don't think she looks that bad. I think she looks kind of cool.
I had a moment where I didn't think it was the same actress.
I know. Furthermore, does she look... Okay, there was a character in the third X-Men movie. Like, the bad one from the early 2000s.
I like how you specify.
Well, because I forget how many of the new ones there are.
An unbelievable amount.
I think there's, like, two. I'm looking up the character name as we speak. But there was a character in that, and it was played by... I think it's Ken Leong is his name. He played...
Yeah.
Miles Lost.
Yes, I remember that character. Yeah. He can withdraw and.
Right. He had the retractable spikes.
Right. And he could make them appear if he wanted them to.
Right. But who's to say she won't be able to do that if she controls her powers?
It's true. And the thing about the whole inhuman thing that I've actually had to explain this to a couple of people because they don't realize the whole rights issue is that, you know, Fox owns the rights to X-Men and therein the rights to the word mutant, which is why Marvel came up with the Inhumans, who are basically mutants.
Well, Marvel had Inhumans for a while. Because this is a new resurgence of them. I believe they already existed. And they've brought them back now. But I believe they've brought them back because they can't use the word mutant.
Right, and
so they're like, we'll just use this B team we have.
Right, and that's what I was going to say. It's their B team, basically, because they can't use the X-Men. But so these people are basically mutants. And if Skye can learn to control her quakiness, I guess
Daisy.
That's how you can say it. No, I will never call her Daisy.
I will never call her Daisy.
If she can ever learn to control it, then she
Kid
basically
Omega.
Has...
Sorry. That is the name of the spiky thing in X-Men. Ken Leong played Kid Omega.
But if Skye can ever figure out how to control this, then she basically has, you know, mutant powers. Just
right.
like
She's
the
like
other mutants do.
Jean... No, not Jean... No. Well, Jean Grey was sucky, too, so we'll say Jean Grey.
Yeah, but she had...
Sucky.
Not my favorite X-Men character.
At least in the films. I mean, they all kind of were horrible in the films, but, you know, she annoyed me too.
But anyway, yeah, who knows if Reyna will ultimately have the ability to retract and
her
whatever
spikiness.
Those spikes. But they seemed pretty permanently affixed. And you're right, she does. If she is in this kind of excruciating pain, maybe it is just because she hasn't learned to control it. Who knows? I did like that they showed us the whole, like, flashback to this
the training.
Guy. Yes, and the guy without the eyes.
Was that Skye's mom teaching him, by the way?
I'm not positive.
I think it might have been, but I'm not 100% on that.
Yeah, there's a...
But I will say, see, when they flash back to that guy, he couldn't control anything, and he was, like, vaping out all over the place. But then when he shows up to... quote unquote save Reyna, he's like, fine. So I'm thinking, what if her spikes are just something she can't control right now?
Right, but even and because even if you look at the kids who went to like the Xavier school, they all had to be taught and trained.
Yeah.
Right. So do these guys.
Right. So I'm thinking perhaps they will be retractable at some point.
Mm-hmm. And she'll be an even more deadly force than she was.
She should have been the big bad. She should have been the big bad.
It's going to be an interesting progression. I really love this show. I have for at least the last half of...
Since the second half of season one.
Second half of season one, where I've started to really kind of fall in love with it. Because they started to tie it in with, you know, Winter Soldier, and it got really interesting and good, and I care about the characters, and for the most
part.
Well,
I am not going to lie. In Winter Soldier, when Sitwell became... Spoilers, guys.
If you haven't seen Winter Soldier.
It's always spoilers. When Sitwell was shown as Hydra, I felt so betrayed. Like, impossibly betrayed, because I was like, but you with Coulson, and you went to help them, and you so upset.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning of Winter Soldier, when he's one of the captives on the boat, I was just like, Steve, you gotta save Sitwell. Coulson will be upset if you don't. Even though you don't know that.
Even though you don't know that.
Which, by the way, they have to be bringing him back into the MCU at some point, right?
Perhaps.
They have to. They're doing all this cross stuff.
Well, yeah, with the Battle World and everything. Probably.
They have to. They need to know. I'm still deeply upset. I think I'm most upset over the fact that Coulson can't tell Captain America he's alive.
Coulson can't tell Captain America that he's alive?
Yes.
You mean Coulson doesn't know that Captain America is alive?
No, he knows Captain America is alive. He can't tell Captain America that he is alive.
Oh, I see what you mean.
That, like, it hurts my soul. Because a lot of his problems could be fixed if he could just be like, yo, guys.
But he can't.
I know. And I understand they did that for, you know, dramatic purposes, but...
For the angst.
But come on. How adorable would it be if he showed up at, like, Age of Ultron? Just, like, what up, guys? With his little gun? Come on.
You never know. It could happen.
Someone write the fanfic.
Someone write the fanfic. That's been a constant thing of, in our little circle. I
someone
want a fic.
Someone write the fanfic. Just some random scenario will come up and, you know, that's the next words out of our mouth. Someone write the fic.
The Avengers thrown back into the 1940s.
Which would be awesome. Right. Anywho, back on track.
Hey, we're still on track.
Ish. This past week, S.H.I.E.L.D., and the week before, I have to say, I am all about the Fitz feels.
Oh, Fitz.
Oh, Fitz. Tears. To the point of almost tears.
Him and Gemma having that conversation. And then him, like, hiding Skye's results and trying to protect her. And all of them ganging up on him and Skye after the whole thing. I mean,
we all know I am not Skye's biggest fans by any means. Any means. I really would have liked it if her character had been shipped off to Asgard.
Oh, that's harsh.
No, it's true.
It was really fun to have Lady Sif back, by the way. I love Jamie Alexander and that character. It was even more fun that she kind of didn't know who she was.
Yes.
The moment that I'm sure was everyone's favorite with her was when they're all standing on, like, it wasn't Santa Monica Pier, but they're standing on the pier. And May just says, "What about Thor?" And that smile comes across her face. She's like, "I don't know this word, but I want to smile." I was like, "Oh!"
Yeah.
Like, even in the current run of Thor, with the female Thor, there's a scene, I think, from spoilers, from either issue four or issue five, that Thor runs into Sif in a bar, and they actually have this conversation, and she says something to him, like, "Just because we used to be lovers." And I was like, oh, we're gonna go there.
And there we went. But the whole Fitz, like, oh, Fitz has been killing me the entire season, just with feels and deadly feels. And the fact that it drives me crazy when characters get so self-righteous. We were just saying this the other week about Laurel.
Mm.
Where when Gemma is like, "Well, she's my friend. Like, of course I wouldn't think that about her." No. You don't get the liberty to say that when you're saying to kill everyone and they're an abomination and a plague.
And you know what? That broke my heart right there. When she went off on that whole thing about, "No, you should really just put them down and get rid of them and eradicate it." And I went, "You are part of the problem."
Well, that's the thing. Like, that's why he felt so protective over Skye, which I totally understand, even though, again, not Skye's biggest fan. And honestly, I think it would have been better for her to go to Asgard. Not because I want to ship her off, which I kind of do, but not just because of that. She hasn't annoyed me as much recently. But also because they would know how to handle it and perhaps be able to train her better.
Yeah, and Sif said that even.
Get here.
That they are much more scientifically advanced.
Right.
On Asgard than we are on Earth.
And I understand why someone would have to go with her. It's hard because you can't assure that once she gets there, she would be protected.
Right.
And that's the problem with shipping her there. But it probably would have been better for her if there was someone there able to help her, you know, act as her Charles Xavier, if you will.
Which begs the question. So this guy with no eyes shows up to, quote, rescue Reyna.
Mm.
Presumably because they could sense her energy or something and he could find her. Like, he was right at the spot that she was.
Right.
Can they find Skye the same way?
One would imagine so.
So that will be an interesting further episode. Is he going to come and take her? Is he going to show up and they're going to capture him while he's trying to take her?
Right.
Like, it'll be very interesting. I also enjoyed the little nod to Guardians of the Galaxy that the guy that showed up and erased Sif's memory was a Kree.
Well, they've been laying the groundwork for the Kree for 2 seasons now.
Yes, but it's like, I think some people who didn't pay attention to that can see that it tied into a bit to Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought it was fun. And of course, the first thing I thought of was Glenn Close calling the president, the Kree president, a prick when he hung up on her. Sorry.
Of course, that's where your mind went.
It was funny. So I like how they throw in, Marvel is, if they're anything, they're very good with their continuity. So they keep that all right. together. And it's just fun that they're bringing in character, like Sif's come a couple of times, but that they're bringing in other alien characters.
Correct.
From the rest of the Marvel Universe. So, you know, a Kree on Earth, that's kind of interesting. Or Midgard, as Sif wants to call us.
Oh, Midgard. They teach you other alien languages as a child?
Me?
They, when she discovers the word, when she discovers the word that she's been saying means key.
Oh, right.
They teach you other alien languages as a child?
I forgot yes. about that one, yes. So, yeah, it, Shield's
but again,
just fun and getting more and more interesting with the emergence of the Inhumans.
Breaking my heart every episode.
Fitz.
But he's getting better. I told you he'd get better. He's getting better, and that makes me so happy. I mean, Fitz may be my favorite. I think we just need to get him a monkey, and then all will be well.
And many a grandpa sweater.
Again,
still ship
Fitz
with his sandwich.
Gemma's whole, how dare you think I would do that to a friend's speech just kills me. Because again, it's the exact same thing we saw with Laurel.
Mm-hmm.
The exact same thing. Where, no, none of your actions have shown that that is not what you would do. So you don't get the right. You don't have the right to be mad.
And I just
and then when he brought up the whole thing about her leaving him, guys, my ship is so broken. Mm. Someone needs to fix it. No, it is not sinking yet. We've sealed off the compartments, but it's
like it's the Titanic.
Yes.
We have sealed off the compartments.
Yes, it's fine. The compartments go up an extra deck, though, so we're cool. We're not like sunk, but
oh, you went there.
That's right. That's right.
You nerd.
I know my Titanic facts. Don't mess.
You nerd.
Oh, please. I have, like, encyclopedias on the subject. I have a whole binder, actually.
I know.
Anywho, my ship is so broken and it makes me cry. And now with Mac being evil, I don't care who he's working for. I've decided
I don't want to say he's evil.
You know why he's evil? Because he made Fitzy cry. You're not a good person if you make Fitz unhappy.
Go ahead.
What makes it so sad is it's like the same thing that happened with Ward. He thought he had a friend and he's going to turn on him and just his fragile little heart.
I don't know. Maybe they're just building Fitz's character.
I know it's building his character and such, but think about it. It's strikingly similar to what happened with Ward.
A little. Except for the fact that, you know, Ward had been trained by a psychopath.
Who's to say Mac hasn't? We don't know who trained Mac.
Like, something is so weird there. I just want to know the answer. What are they doing? Who are they working for? Why are they conspiring? And why, Hunter, did you have to confront him?
I know.
Where's he going to hide the body?
Well, and he didn't kill him.
No, I know. But what's he going to do with him now? When he regains consciousness, he's going to remember. And if where's he going to hide him, and how are they going to explain that Hunter is missing?
Mm.
These are the questions.
He should have confronted Bobby instead.
I can't say it would have ended any better.
Yeah, but she loves him, and we know that.
That's
and deep down, he knows that too.
Yeah, that's not up for debate.
Right. So she'd be less likely to kill him.
Maybe. So many questions. So little S.H.I.E.L.D. left.
So little S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, we've got some fun TV-related news that we can talk about.
Let's!
So let's go with the Supergirl costume.
Is it weird if I say I don't like it?
No. Is it weird for me to say that I do?
No. Okay. I just think, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting. You know what? It might not even be the costume. I don't like the way she looks in the costume. I'm not saying it's her. I'm saying it's something about those photos.
I agree that
her
it probably
face
is the photos.
Looks weird.
It's very.
Her face looks kind of old.
Yeah, they make her
and again,
look
this
a
is
bit
nothing
older
to do with
than
the actress.
She is.
It's not her fault. It's the way they've edited the photos. But her face looks oddly sun damaged.
She looks like she's, you know, 27, 28, and not the age that she's supposed to be. But the costume, anyway, like the way that the costume is made, I really actually kind of like it. I like the material that they used. It has a nice texture to it. And then I don't know. I like it a lot. And I think we're probably going to wind up seeing a ton of those at New York Comic Con this year.
Of course. I feel like, I guess maybe I'm not as jazzed about it because I feel like it's just sort of Superman's outfit
for a girl.
A skirt.
That's always what it was, though.
I know, but it's because we've seen the quote-unquote Man of Steel costume. It's just very, like, meh.
Yeah, I hear you.
So you know, like, when they released the, like, Arrow and Flash costumes, they were different. And different than what we're used to seeing from the comic book versions.
Well, this is a bit different from what they would draw in the comics.
Not really.
She looks more like Superman in the last Superman movie, like the way his costume was made in the last movie.
Right, but, you know, I think that's what I'm saying, is it's just so similar that it's like, meh.
Well, they couldn't put her in pants.
Well, I don't want her in, I don't really want her in pants. I don't know what I would have liked. I was just expecting more because I really love the designer.
That's what I always say. It wasn't just the designer. Five other people approved it.
Oh, no, I know.
So, like, we were having this conversation. By any means. No, but I was having this conversation with a friend of mine who I'm not watching Castle any longer, but apparently, I don't know if it was last week's episode or the week before.
Oh, the thigh high boots.
Yeah. Beckett walks out of, you know, with a thigh holster on and her police vest, and then these thigh high black leather boots that have stiletto heels on them.
Yeah, no.
And my friend was like, I don't know what they were thinking. I was like, take a step back and just remember that five other people approved it after the designer went, these ones.
Yep.
It wasn't like the director went, no. Well, five other people were like, yeah, those.
That's how I feel about some of the horrible, horrible movie scripts that get greenlighted. Like, I understand the step where somebody writes it and it's terrible, but they don't realize it's terrible because they wrote it. And then somebody else reads it, and maybe they're really nice and just want to be encouraging. And they're like, no, that was really good. The thing that drives me crazy and I don't understand is when it gets to the level where someone goes, I will give you lots of money to make this.
Sharknado 3.
No, but see, Sharknado 3, I understand, because the first two were so awful that they were huge successes, that I get it.
When did we become this culture where a really kind of horrible D-movie is a cult classic?
I mean, always. There's always been terrible movies that are classics.
Oh.
I mean, I love me some Rocky Horror, but that is when you really break it down. That is a movie.
I've never seen it.
What?
Yeah, we're not going to go there. In other Supergirl news,
we are tabling this discussion for later.
Much later. Callista Flockhart has joined the cast of Supergirl, which will be on CBS.
Which just proves that Callista Flockhart lives, because where has she been?
Where has she been? That was my first thought, too. Where has Callista Flockhart been? She is going to play Cat Grant, who is the media magnet boss of Kara Danvers.
Basically, I want to say she's the J. Jonah Jameson.
Well, yes.
Or what's the Superman equivalent? Oh, Perry White. Sorry, she's the Perry White, right? I'm correct in that. That's why it was so funny that it was Lawrence Fishburne, because his last name was White.
Yes, that was why it was so funny. The description of this character is described as J-Lo by way of Anna Wintour. Kat is the self-made founder of Catco, a media empire that includes a global magazine and websites in multiple spheres. Having started her career as a reporter, she has the media savvy of Kim Kardashian with the entrepreneurial knowledge of Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. Could you throw any more social media junk in that description?
All of that sounds terrible, by
the way. It does, doesn't it?
The character will be terrible, but I was like, that is your thought?
This is how it's described in the TVLine.com article that we pulled up. That is not a character I like at all.
Yes.
And apparently Kara is going to be Cat Grant's personal assistant, which is not an easy job. Being an assistant to a supervillain might be easier. That's what the article says, by the way.
Ouch.
Yeah. So this will be interesting. This is the first series that Callista Flockhart has had a regular gig on since Brothers and Sisters went off the air in 2011.
Oh, she did that. That's where she went for a while.
Yep.
Oh.
I'm interested to see Lara Benanti in it.
Meh.
I kind of like her.
I'm lukewarm on her.
So anyway, this Do we have a date when this is coming to TV? I know it will be on CBS.
Not yet. I think they're still casting.
Okay. So.
Or they were casting some roles as of recently, I believe.
So we will, when we know when it will air, we will let you guys know. But that's some interesting.
I'm worried. Have I spoken of my great fear of the Supergirl?
Yeah, I think we did. I'm never easy with a DC title anymore.
No, you know what? There are some things that you just know are going to be okay. Like Arrow. I knew that was going to be good.
I didn't for the first season.
Yeah, I know. But like, I got a feeling from the pilot that, you know, this was something. Because I remember reading that script and being like, oh, I will so watch this.
Yeah, and you in turn told all of us to watch it.
Yes, I did. Hardcore. I was on that. I was like, yes, this is a thing. But, and I haven't gotten material on Supergirl, so I will lay that out there. I'm not doing any spoilers or anything, but just, it worked. I also felt better about it being, Arrow being on the CW, because that's their bread and butter. Like, that kind of weird paranormal superhero type stuff, that is their bread and butter.
Kind of fantasy. They, if you look at the shows on the CW that are largely popular, it's Vampire Diaries, The Originals, Arrow,
Supernatural, The Flash,
Jane the Virgin,
which is the random one.
Mm-hmm. It's the wild card.
There's always a wild card. And like back in the day, they had Smallville, which ran forever. They had Buffy. They had Angel. Like, that's their thing. They made the WB, which is now the CW, made its name for itself with Buffy.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Felicity air on CW?
Felicity, Dawson's Creek. Yep,
Dawson's Creek as well. I wasn't wildly into TV when those were on. I knew they were on because everyone in high school was watching them.
Oh, yes. I did those things. Well, my problem with those shows is I would watch them until they got too soapy and then be like, peace.
I'm having that issue right now because I'm reading my way through the Outlander books. And there are moments where you hit a patch where you're like, that was very Harlequin.
Ooh. Better Harlequin than soap opera TV.
I suppose, yeah. The series hasn't, well, although we only have 8 episodes, it hasn't gotten really Harlequin yet.
So you're good.
The books have.
But yeah, when I was told it was going to be on the CW, I felt even more secure in that. And then The Flash, you know, came off of Arrow. But I don't know, like, if you look at CBS's lineup and what they're doing, because CBS has a really strong lineup, which is fascinating to me. I don't want to call it old people shows. I watch some of them. But they tend to skew older in the demographic. But if you look at all the shows they have, it's, you know, NCIS, it's all the CSIs, it was The Mentalist, it was Criminal Minds, still is Criminal Minds. So they're very good on the procedural shows. Right. I think they have like 3 NCISs now at this point too. So they're very good on the procedural thing. But we haven't really, and they've done the comedies they do, I'm not necessarily a fan of their comedies. Couldn't really name them all for you. I do believe they were the ones who had 2.5 Men for like forever. And they have Mike and Molly, and they have 2 Broke Girls, I believe, which is, you know, okay. So they've even carved out their own little like sitcom niche, and they're very good at the procedurals, but I don't think they've ever handled anything like this. And that kind of makes me nervous. Not saying that they can't do it. I mean, I would love for them to prove me wrong and for it to be a great show, but they don't have the track record as some other networks do, so I'm a little more uneasy.
Time will tell. Well, we have some other interesting TV news. This one kind of I'm a little excited about. Lucy Lawless is going to join Ash vs. the Evil Dead,
which is going to be a miniseries for, I believe, Stars.
Yes, it's going to be on Stars, which, based on what they've been doing with Outlander, this could be really good.
Here's the thing.
What's the thing?
I'm an Evil Dead fan, so I'm already excited. Bruce Campbell is ridiculous. He is just as, I don't want to say awful a human being. Because I wouldn't
awful
call
in
him
a great
awful.
Way.
He's very nice, but he's very, like, he is a personality. Mm. And so much fun to watch. And come on, we all love, those of us who watch the Evil Dead movies, not the new one, I can't watch that. I'm traumatized by something I know happens in it, so it can't be watched. But the third Evil Dead movie is by far the best, which is very tongue-in-cheek and funny. And I feel like Ash vs. the Evil Dead is kind of going to have that type of feel to it.
Well, so it's set in the same world as Evil Dead, it says. The TV series catches up with Ash as he travels from town to town, trying to keep a low profile, deal with his demon-filled past, and take on any new threats. So it begins filming in April in New Zealand with, I believe it's, it'll be a 10-episode series.
I'm ready.
So it's going to be fun. So Lucy Lawless's character is named Ruby. She's a myopic... You know, it says, who's myopic in her quest to hunt down the source of the recent evil outbreaks?
Guess who that is?
She suspects Bruce Campbell's Ash Williams is the cause.
Not suspects. We know.
Yes, well, we know, but she is... So, yeah, that's fun. I'm excited. I like Lucy Lawless a lot.
And she is a whole bundle of adorable.
She really is. I am so bummed that I did not get to meet her at Comic-Con this year.
She with was you super guys. Cute.
I know. Cute. You guys, I remember because you texted me and you were like, it was so awesome. And then we found mini Firefly people. And I'm like still in line waiting to get my wristband for Patrick Stewart, who never
showed. No, the mini Firefly people found us. And that made it even better.
Oh, Comic-Con. I'm so broken up that I'm missing PhillyCon.
I know.
We'll leave that for another episode, you guys. So let's see, we've got some other stuff. Oh, Sex Criminals is going to be made into a series. I don't know how I feel about this.
I mean, yay.
Like, good Matt on Fraction you, Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'm very happy for you. I personally have not read any of Sex Criminals. I was supposed to be sent a bundle, and it didn't end up working on my iPad, so I have to see if I can get them again from a friend. But... I don't know where that fits in the spectrum of TV.
I'm not quite sure myself. It's being created by Universal TV, though. That's the deal they made with Universal TV, which I don't really know who Universal TV is.
That's a good question. But just because it's like Universal, just doesn't mean it's necessarily going to whatever that is. I mean, Warner Brothers... produces a bunch of stuff on other networks, not just...
Right. It could go to another network. To me, this screams HBO.
Or Stars, or
Stars.
What's the one that does the... Who has Banshee?
Showtime?
Does Showtime have Banshee?
I don't know. They do Homeland, so...
What's the kind of, like, porny channel?
I don't know.
Well, it's not actual porn, but it's the one where you're like, oh, if you're going to be on that show, you're totally going to be showing your boobs.
I have no idea. The three networks that we just mentioned are all boob showing.
Friendly?
They're all boob friendly.
All boob friendly.
HBO Stars, Showtime, boobs, yes.
boobs.
Ah, boobs. So, I mean, I'm very excited for them. When they first announced this, I was actually more excited that because Kelly Sue... posted it on Tumblr, and that's where I first saw it. And I thought, oh, they're going to make Bitch Planet into a TV show? No, Sex Criminals. Huh.
You were sad.
No, mildly. And then a friend of mine very excitedly posted it on my Facebook wall before she had read the article. And I was like, you realize it's not Bitch Planet. And she went, oh. I was like, eh. So, no, and I honestly cannot judge. I have not read Sex Criminals. I kind of know the premise. Where did that come
premise?
From?
The premise.
I kind of know the premise of the series, and I know a couple of people who really love it, but I personally have never read it, so who am I to judge? And it's super awesome for both Kelly Sue and Matt Fraction, so okay? I don't know.
Okay.
They do also, it says they also plan to use their milk-fed criminal masterminds production company as a TV launchpad for other comic creators' IP. So there's potential for more of these like independent image-like comics to become a TV series.
Yay!
Because, you know, we're in the time of the comic book TV show.
Which, yay!
Yes. Granted. So we'll see... what this does. That sounds really like down and out, boo hiss, but I don't know what to, I don't have anything to say. Like I said, haven't read it, don't know. So.
Haven't read it, don't know, just here.
Good on ya. Good
what
on ya.
It, what is it air? I'm still trying to figure out what band she airs on.
No clue. So we also got some images of Jessica Jones.
Yes. Are they really calling it AKA Jessica Jones?
I hope not.
I'm so confused because everyone seems to be like, AKA Jessica Jones. I'm like, is that just because you're using the not fake title? Because they definitely have a fake title for filming.
That might be it.
We all know this. So are we just like calling it like AKA Jessica Jones and forgetting to say the fake title or what Cinemax? Cinemax is the boob network. Sorry. Back to Jessica Jones, which will be airing on Netflix.
Oh my goodness.
And so, more importantly, yes. You know who else is on Jessica Jones?
Oh, David Tennant. He's going to play the big bad.
Oh, I know.
He is also going to be at Philadelphia Comic Con.
Woohoo!
Shoot me in the face.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm probably not going to get near him. It's fine.
There are far too many announcements coming out about PhillyCon that are making me go, why am I in tech?
I think my favorite is that they announced Stephen Amell, even though he has been locked and on the website for a good 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, months.
3 to 4 months. And they're like, guys, look who we got. Like, don't you mean look who we have?
Look who we've had for 3 months. So anyway, back to the Jessica Jones costume. I dig these pictures. I want her scarf and her jacket.
Well, it's not so much a costume as it is an outfit.
We still call it a costume.
No, I know, but I mean, like, when you say costume and we're talking superheroes, I think, like...
I'm sorry. I live in the world of wardrobe. It's always a costume
Well,
to
yes,
me.
I know, and I know that, but when you say it like that...
I apologize.
Especially after we've been talking Supergirl costume.
Yes, it's not like a superhero suit, you guys. It's just she's wearing street clothes.
And she's kind of beaten up.
A bit, yeah. There's some blood.
There's some nicks and cuts there. I'm excited.
But yeah, it's... I like that she just looks like a normal person. That's great. Keep her that way. Although most of the time, you know, superheroes undercover do.
Not always.
You know, Clark Kent puts on glasses and suddenly he's no longer Superman. I'm sorry.
No, you know, I always kind of wondered if maybe there was like a perception thingy on it. This is because I've been watching too much Doctor Who, okay?
No, but I had that theory too, that...
But if there was something, like, with the... Like, yes, they make him look slightly different, but I also kind of wonder if there's some sort of... Because he's got alien tech. I wonder if there's some sort of thing to them where they just slightly alter human perception.
You know, not like... Dig into that a little deeper.
Not, like, drastically, but just enough so you don't make the connection.
Perhaps.
At least I hope so, because that makes so much more sense than, look, I'm wearing glasses.
One other little bit of TV news that I want to put out there. We got the green light that The Fall is going to have a season 3. Woohoo.
Very exciting. You're beyond ecstatic. Just woohoo. I'm sure you were, like, crying tears of joy.
Oh, you really want to know what the situation? I was sitting backstage waiting for a quick change when I read it, and I had an involuntary, like, jump up and down in my chair, and the stage manager sitting next to me threw me a look.
Oops.
It happens. I was very excited, though, because the way that series two, whatever you want to say, ended, it could end there, but we don't want it to. Like, you want to know the rest of the story.
You mean, so, like, the river? Still bitter.
Sure.
Every episode.
Kind of like the end of Agent Carter. No, we need more. Hashtag renew Agent Carter. I'm going to sneak it in every episode. And the other little thing that I finally did get to, I didn't get to watch it in real time, but the Paley Fest was the last week and a half. And if you guys did not get the chance to watch any panel that you want to watch, Paley actually has it up on their website. A couple of them are up on the Yahoo Livestream website, but a good chunk of them are over on Paley's actual website under, I forget which exactly tab it's under. But there's a tab on their website that all of these videos are under. So, like, The Flash and Arrow both had their panels this week. Apparently, they're really super good. I haven't had a chance to go back and watch those.
I haven't had a chance to watch them yet either.
which these, if you guys have never watched a PaleyFest panel, you probably have in passing, or you've seen the GIFs of them and you're like, what is this? Where is it from? They're super fun because it's pretty much as many cast members as they can get, a showrunner, and if there's, you know, a comic book author or an author of the book that it's based on involved, they're usually on the panel as well, with a moderator who's usually pretty awesome. Unless they fangirl a little too hard.
There's nothing worse than a bad moderator.
It's true. So they're usually really good. They're very well-versed in the show. They're well-versed in the actors. And they usually open it up to fan questions pretty quickly. And sometimes the fans ask really good questions.
Sometimes they don't.
No, but... So the Outlander panel was on Thursday, and that was kind of the only one that I was like, I must watch it live. I didn't get to watch it live because it didn't come on until 11:10 our time, and I was running for a train. But I got to watch it the day after, and they opened the panel. First thing they do after they introduce everyone and they sit down and they get mic'd, the moderator hands them all glasses and says, we're going to play a game of Never Have I Ever, and picks up a bottle of whiskey and says, you can play with water if you'd like to. And Katrina Balfe, who plays Claire in the show, goes, no. So they play a game of Never Have I Ever with whiskey to break the ice of this. And I went, that's how every panel should open. That's how every Paley panel should open. Brilliant. It was fabulous. It was fabulous. So, I mean, I love that show and I love that cast. So it was super fun to watch. And I'm brand new to the fandom, like within the last month.
She's a baby fan.
I am. But the way that the 8 episodes that Stars gave us ended, drove me to read the first book because I had to know what happened. You love couldn't it. Leave it there. And the first book, pretty awesome. I'm on the second book. It's a great deal slower than the first one. But I had a friend guarantee me that once I get past a certain point in the book, it gets really good. So I was like, all right, I'll keep with it. And there are 8 of them. And apparently, according to the author, she's not done telling the story.
Oh, snap.
8 books in and you're not done? Wow.
Harry Potter only had 7.
Touche. But yeah, so those panels are over on, it's paleycenter.org, I believe. If it's not, we'll get the link up in the blog post and tweet it out to you guys. I was retweeting them a lot the last week.
Yes, you were.
With links and such. When I had the time. Because I was in tech. So, yes. Anyway, that was super fun. Do you have anything else you'd like to add, my dear?
Do I?
Do you? How about our contest?
Ah, yes. Guys, this week is the last week. Yeah? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe we're ending on the 22nd. We've kept it open nice and long for you guys to give you plenty of chances. And don't forget, you can tweet about it every day for more chances. We have someone who literally does that.
I love it.
I'm kind of rooting for them.
I hope you win.
Again, it's a random generated win, so we have nothing to do with who actually
wins. We don't choose who wins it.
But that person, we're rooting.
You guys can also go back and listen to last week's episode. There's a secret word in there that gets you 5 extra points.
True.
So... super fun. If you want a little bit of
true. And there's someone who actually entered it. I saw at least one, so good on you.
Mm-hmm. But
I root for you as well.
Fun little giveaway that
we've pulled together. It is a promo poster for both Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter, which they were given out at a bunch of conventions this year. A little S.H.I.E.L.D. pewter. I believe it's pewter.
It's going
with pewter. It's the pale pin. So a little Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. lapel pin, as well as every Agent Carter fan needs her cap. So we have a Funko Pop from Captain America Winter Soldier, as well as a graphic novel, Captain America the First Avenger.
Fun, fun, and it all can be yours.
All of this low price can be
entering
yours.
A contest.
All this can be yours.
And so, yes, more. That will be up on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. And don't worry, folks. If you don't win this one, we've got plenty of more contests up in the wind.
Especially after we go to Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. We're working on some good stuff for you.
Faux show. Well, okie dokie. I think that's about wraps it up. So you guys can find everything that we talked about tonight over on our blog. It's allgeektomeradio.com. You can also find us on Twitter, allgeek2, the number 2, me, radio. You can email us any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions at itsallgeektomeradio@gmail.com. And you can also find us over on Facebook. A link to the contest is over on our Facebook page, It's All Geek to Me Radio. And until next week, I am Kate.
I'm M.
Have a great weekend, geek.